الحمد لله الحمد لله علي الذات عظيم الصفات سميع السمات كبير الشأن جليل القدير الرفيع الذكر مطاع الأمر جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزير العلم وسيل الحلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن أحسن دينا ممن أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن واتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا واتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكان الله بكل شيء محيطا. We are approaching a very sacred occasion and a very special moment in the annual Islamic calendar, the advent and the beginning of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, which is a special moment and a special occasion for Muslims who are residents, for Muslims that will be home. This is the beginning of the 10 blessed days of Dhul-Hijjah, culminating with the most blessed day of Eid al-Adha and the sacrifice that we offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for many Muslims around the world, millions of Muslims around the world, they've already set out or are about to set out on the journey of the lifetime that we know as Hajj. So this is a very special, very blessed occasion within the Islamic calendar. And one thing that's very unique and very interesting about this moment, this occasion, and everything that's involved in the celebration of this of these days is stated very appropriately and very beautifully by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When he was teaching his companions and the entire ummah, he was teaching them about the sacrifice, the udhiyah that we offer at the occasion of Eid al-Adha. And the Sahabatul Kiram radiyallahu anhum, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they asked the Messenger of Allah, مَا هَذِي الْأَضَحِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What are these sacrifices? What is this all about? What's with these sacrifices? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, سُنَّةُ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. That this is the sunnah, this is the practice, this is the tradition of your forefather Ibrahim that has been preserved and carried on throughout time. It has been ordained upon you by Allah. And so this is a very special practice of a very special individual from our history as human beings, and more importantly, from our heritage as Muslims, as believers. And when we take a look at this entire occasion, the first part of Dhul-Hijjah, the Eid al-Adha, and even the Hajj, and the rites of Hajj, and the different aspects of the pilgrimage that inshallah millions of Muslims will be engaging in the next few weeks. All of that, when we take a look at it, is a preservation of the most beautiful practices and traditions and sacrifices that were offered to Allah for the sake of Allah by this devout slave of Allah, who we know as Ibrahim alayhi salam. And in that spirit, I wanted to address exactly Ibrahim alayhi salam, who he is, what we know about him, and then what we can derive from that, what we can learn from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created human beings. He created each and every single one of us. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah states that not only did He create the human being, but that He knows the human being better than He knows Himself. He knows the human being better than the human being knows Himself. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, He created within us the capacity and placed around us influences that can either lead us towards good or lead us to bad. Allah created within each and every single human being the capacity to be the best of the best or the worst of the worst. Good and bad. Right and wrong. Righteousness and evil. Allah has created that capacity within each and every single human being. And on top of that, externally Allah has placed factors and influences which can also facilitate that good that is within that human being, that can facilitate and that can carry on, motivate the inclination towards good that a human being has, but at the same time it can further spoil the human being if he leans towards evil, if he leans towards wrong. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ This is one of the blessings that Allah accounts upon us. He reminds us of in Surah Al-Balad, when He says, we've showed him both paths. Both paths have been laid out very clearly for this human being. And he is capable of walking down either of these two paths. Now, we look within the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an is the ultimate form of Allah's guidance. The ultimate form of Allah's guidance. Allah has told us about people, individuals, situations, things that have occurred in our past, our history as human beings. Allah has informed us in the Qur'an. In very vivid, captivating words, Allah has described to us what transpired before us. But at the same time, Allah clarifies that the Qur'an and the purpose of the Qur'an is not storytelling. It doesn't tell us stories for the purposes of entertainment. That's not the purpose of the Qur'an. It doesn't entertain us. But it tells us these stories. It tells us about actual people that came before us. Why? لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِيُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ As a lesson, as an eye-opener, a wake-up call, a realization of who we are and who we could become. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى These are not fairy tales that somebody dreamt up one night. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ Rather, the Qur'an affirms reality. It opens our eyes to reality. وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ It gives us a detailed structure, a game plan that we can live our life based on. وَهُدًى And it is guidance through and through. It is guidance in all situations, at all times, in all places, for all people. وَرَحْمَةً And it is a mercy from Allah. A divine form of Allah's most sweetest mercy. Once again, at all times, at all places, in all situations. لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ But for people who are willing to believe. People who are willing to take it into consideration. People who approach it with an open mind and an open heart. It will guide them. So Allah's told us about the people. Who has He told us about? He's told us about Shaytan and He's told us about Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about Musa alayhi salam. But on the other hand, you have Fir'aun, you have Qarun, you have Haman. Allah has even informed us about, and we have preserved in our history, in our hands, the life of the blessed messenger of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on the flip side, we also know about Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and these wretched individuals. And similarly, Allah tells us a lot about His blessed messenger, Ibrahim alayhi salam. But on the other hand, He also tells us about the other people. The people who ostracized Him. The people who tied Him up and threw Him into a fire. The people who outcasted Him. The great king of that time. أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ He was arrogant, he was conceited. He thought he was larger than life. Because he had power, influence, control. Namrud is the name that we know of him. So Allah told us about both these individuals. Why? Simply letting us know. You have Musa and you have Fir'aun. Now you decide what you would rather be. Who would you rather be like? Would you rather be like Musa alayhi salam or like Fir'aun? Would you rather be like Ibrahim or would you rather be like that king that defied not just Ibrahim, but the message Ibrahim came with, therefore defying Allah Himself. He was disobedient and disrespectful to Allah Himself. And this is something very interesting that we need to understand. Why does Allah tell us about these people? To motivate us. To inspire us. To give us the motivation that we need, that we require to rise to the occasion. That sometimes another test of the human being is to get very complacent. To get very complacent with who I am and where I am and what I'm doing. But Allah is presenting these amazing individuals to us in the Qur'an. Why? You can be like these people. Look at these people and aspire to their heights. Strive to be like them. It's common sense. It doesn't need to be explained in detail. But whenever anyone goes into any arena of life, any field of work, anyone ever steps into any territory, they always look up to the greatest person. The person who has achieved the heights within that skill or that talent or that ability. And they always aspire to be like him. Athletes always look up to the greatest athletes of their sport. And that is who they aspire to be like. That's who they want to be like. And so as believers, we separate this mentality from our iman, from our spirituality. But these occasions, like this occasion of Hajj and Dhul Hijjah and Eid al-Adha, it doesn't just come so that we can fulfill a few obligations and go about our business. We can go back to status quo and normal daily life. But it comes to remind us of this amazing person named Ibrahim. To look at his life. A man about whom Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ. When Ibrahim was severely tested by his Lord. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Not in just way, but in multiple ways. Time and time again. In different situations. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. But he passed every single time with flying colors. That person, how can we be like him? How can we aspire to be like him? It comes to motivate us, to drive us. That who was Ibrahim? In Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ayah number 79, he tells us that the statement of Ibrahim, the conviction of Ibrahim, look how strong this man was. Look how committed and dedicated and devoted he was to Allah. And to his cause. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ. That I have, the literal translation would come off as I have turned my face. But in the Arabic language, this is an expression, a figure of speech. The face is the nobility of the body, the most respectable part of the body. It means I have completely, wholeheartedly devoted and dedicated myself. I have completely, internally and externally, I've devoted myself. To who? لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا. The one who originated the heavens and the earth. He gave existence to the heavens and the earth and everything that exists between out of nothingness. There was nothing there and he gave it existence. Hanifan. And this is one of the defining features, defining characteristics of the character and the personality of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hanif. And we often hear this word and we talk about this word, but what does it mean? In classical Arabic, someone whose feet would be inverted in would be called Ahnaf. Rajulun Ahnaf. Because when he would walk, his feet would point towards the middle. The word Hanif implies that someone is focused. He's put his blinders on. He's not looking right, he's not looking left. He's understood what is his responsibility, his role in life, and he's walking that path. And he will not be distracted by anything. He's fully committed, fully dedicated. Not distracted, he's not flaky. He's consistent, and he's committed. And that is the meaning of Hanif. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I have devoted and dedicated myself to Allah completely and wholeheartedly. And he said, I'm focused. I won't be distracted. And this is a very valuable lesson for us in our times. That distractions today are more of a part of our culture today than ever before. We are so easily distracted today. Today is the age of Facebook. We're so distracted. When we sit in the masjid, when we sit at work, when we sit in the khutbatul jumu'ah, our phones are constantly buzzing. We keep taking them out, looking at them. Text messages, phone calls, Facebook updates. We are so distracted. Think about this fact. They're having to, you know, all of our money. We just had elections. All of our money, the time of our policy and lawmakers. Valuable time is being spent at the state and national level to enforce laws that stop people from using their cell phones while they drive. Not to text while they drive. That's common sense. To not text while you drive. But we are so distracted today. So unable to stay focused on our own safety, our own well-being, the car that's in front of you. that laws have to be passed and have to be made to legislate and enforce that we don't jeopardize our own safety. Because we're so distracted. Well, Ibrahim alayhi salam was not distracted. Hanif, constantly in focus. Never lost sight of his original goal. He always knew what he was committed to. And how focused? This focus of his is manifested in his words at the end of Surah Al-An'am. In ayah number 162, where he says, "Inna salati wa nusuki." Most definitely my prayer, my sacrifices, wa mahyaya wa mamati, my living and my dying, everything, lillahi rabbil alameen, it is solely dedicated and devoted to Allah alone. I live for Allah and I die for Allah. I pray for Allah, I live my life for Allah. So committed, so dedicated, so devoted. But we come to one very critical juncture here. We're talking about, we're reading about, we're listening to a talk about an amazing individual who's so amazing, who's so inspirational, at such a high level and such a high status. Then shaitan creeps in, our own nafs creeps in, and gives us the excuse, gives us the way out by saying, "But he's so amazing. He's so beyond you, you can't even think about aspiring to be anything like him. You have no business even looking up to him. You're so far beneath him, so much lower than someone like that, that there's no point in even trying." And that's a very common predicament today. We don't even start to try. Because we figure, you know what, it's a lost cause, even before we even start. In order to counter this negative mentality, in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 125, Allah talks to us about Ibrahim alayhi salam again. But this time He speaks about him in a different manner. Allah opens up the conversation. He generalizes the conversation. He says, "وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا." Who can be more excellent in his deen? Meaning now it's an open conversation. Who could be more excellent in his deen? "مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ." Than the one who has completely submitted his face before Allah. We talked about the face. Meaning someone who has completely, wholeheartedly devoted and dedicated himself to Allah. He has lowered himself before Allah and said, "Oh Allah, I need you. And I want to please you. And I'll do whatever it takes in order to please you." Then, وَهُوَ مُحْسِن. And then he excels. He tries his best. He puts his best foot forward. He invests himself completely into living up to this statement that he's made. And subhanAllah, from the eloquence of the Qur'an, is that Allah presents this, putting forth the best foot forward, making the best effort. Allah presents this in the nominal form as a noun, the ism, which implies consistency. He consistently works to be his best. That's the second trap of shaitan. Once we make the commitment, we realize, no, I will be the best that I can. I will look up to Ibrahim, and to Musa, and to Isa, and to Adam, and to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I will strive to be as close as possible to their character as I can be. I will work hard. Allah has given them to me as role models and examples, not because it's impossible, not because I shouldn't even think about it, but because it's a realistic goal. I need to strive to be like them. Every single young kid, every single 19-year-old, 20-year-old that gets drafted into the NBA aspires to be the next Michael Jordan. And it would be foolish for him not to do so. Then what's even the point? You resign yourself to mediocrity? So in spirituality, we resign ourselves to mediocrity today? No, Allah has given me these role models and these examples, these exemplars, so I can try to live up to that standard. So what was muhsin? The next trap of shaitan I was talking about is, so you set out on this noble cause and this noble path. But shaitan shows up maybe a week later, a couple of weeks later. And then starts to inject laziness. And you taper off and you drop off. Something very typical we see. But not this individual. That's not the person Allah's talking about. This person once again rises to the occasion. He stays consistent. "I will keep doing the best that I can. I'll keep working as hard as possible. I'll continue to keep setting higher and higher and higher goals for myself." وَهُوَ مُحْسِن. وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And then he follows the path, the way that has been set, has been laid out for us by Ibrahim alayhi salam. The word milla, in the Arabic language, in classical Arabic, it refers to a whole system of life, a structure of life that is laid out for people, and it facilitates good. It facilitates them for them to please Allah. It facilitates the earning of the pleasure of Allah. And that is why the way of Ibrahim has been called the Millah of Ibrahim. It's a very practical way of life where you have a family and you make a living and you fulfill your own needs and you enjoy happiness and you enjoy family time. You enjoy yourself. You're proud of yourself. You live a very fulfilling life. But everything, in everything is integrated the earning of the pleasure of Allah. We earn the pleasure of Allah when we go to work. We earn the pleasure of Allah when we spend time with our families. We earn the pleasure of Allah even when we eat, sleep, drink and live at home. How to integrate the earning of the pleasure of Allah into all aspects of our lives. That commitment, that dedication, that devotion of Allah is not exclusive to just the masjid and spirituality and religious acts of worship. Not at all. But it's a complete way of life that facilitates, makes it easy for us to earn the pleasure of Allah. Hanifan. And that person once again is focused, dedicated, will not be distracted. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, why do all this work? What's the incentive at the end of the day? I mean, I need an incentive. I'm a human being. If there's no paycheck on Friday waiting for me, it's hard for me to get through the work week. Very honestly, we need an incentive. What's the incentive? وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Because the person before us, the individual before us, who lived his life based on these values, submitted himself, committed himself to Allah, strived for excellence, lived his entire life based on earning the pleasure of Allah, and was focused and was not distracted. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took Ibrahim. Allah made Ibrahim his Khalil. Allah made Ibrahim his Khalil. What is a Khalil? There are many different words within the Quran which talk about or imply friendship. The word qareen, someone that you have something in common with. The word rafiq, somebody who's a very compassionate, somebody that cares for you. Wali, someone that's your ally. Siddiq, someone that can keep a secret, a mutual friend. Hamim, someone who's extremely loyal to you. And then there's the word khalil. Khalil, the root of the word, the origins of the word, it means when something becomes completely intertwined with something else. Even this, what I'm doing right now, is called khilal al-asabi'. To intertwine, to interlock the fingers with each other. Something that becomes completely intertwined with something else. A khalil is someone that you become very intimately connected with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as his khalil. Allah gave him the greatest gift ever given to any human being. And that was his personal, intimate friendship and connection and relationship. Now, is this something once again that's exclusive? Something that's unattainable? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a hadith, he tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَكُمْ خَلِيلًا. He says about himself, Allah has also taken me, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this friend of yours. Allah has made Muhammad Rasulullah his khalil as well. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam himself says about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If I would have taken anyone as my khalil, my most closest, intimate, personal friend, other than Allah, because Allah is my khalil. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying, if I would have taken anyone else as a khalil, it would have been Abu Bakr. Because once again, Abu Bakr exhibits, he lives by this higher standard, this higher code. He exemplifies what is meant when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about submitting, devoting and dedicating yourself to Allah. Somebody I would be proud to call my friend. And so this is what I wanted to address. This is what I wanted to talk about today. That when we look up at Ibrahim alayhi salam and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam and these amazing role models and individuals for us, and we see them standing on this higher platform We see them standing on this higher level. At the same time, what we need to pay attention to, what we need to realize, what we need to look at, is that there are stairs that lead up to that higher platform. There's a ladder that leads up to that higher level. So when we see them standing on that higher standard, we also need to take a look at those stairs and that ladder and realize that I can also climb that ladder. They were the friends of Allah. They shared a very close personal, intimate connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their lives were devoted and dedicated to Allah. And the result of that was confidence, self-esteem, self-respect, reliance upon Allah, trust in Allah. Think about the trust and the level of confidence of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's being thrown into a fire. Can you imagine ever feeling more helpless than when you have been launched, catapulted, you are flying through the air, about to fall face first into a fire? Can you ever imagine feeling more helpless than at such a moment? Well, the books of Tafasir, they tell us that even at that occasion, the angels, they came to Ibrahim alayhi salam and they asked him, "Hal laka haja? Do you have any need? Is there anything you need?" And Ibrahim alayhi salam's response to them was, "Amma ilayka fala. Amma ilayka fala. As far as you're concerned, I have no need. I don't need anything from you. Why don't I need anything from you? Because I have Allah on my side. I have Allah on my side." That feeling, that strength, that conviction is possible for each and every single person. We just have to follow in that same footsteps. We have to start climbing those steps of that ladder to reach that conviction, to reach that self-assuredness, that relationship with Allah. And the current situation that we have going on today, to make this relevant to us, here and now, where we're being demonized, where left and right our faith and the values that we live by are being questioned in the media, mainstream politics, discussions, conversations. At each and every single step in the public sphere, we're being made to question ourselves. And we find this reluctance, this hesitation, this self-doubt. We're starting to become insecure about who we are, what we believe, the code that we live by. The solution lies in this same issue. When we find that type of a connection with Allah, and we realize that we are the friends of Allah, we have Allah on our side, and we find that confidence and that strength through our connection with Allah, then what does Allah tell us in the very next ayah? وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا. For Allah alone, it is the exclusive sole property of Allah. Everything that is in the heavens and everything that's in the earth. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا. And Allah is encompassing and has encircled each and every single thing. Everything is within the grasp of Allah. Everything is in His control. Nothing escapes His control and His power. Then we have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our side. And that's where we derive our strength. That's where we get our confidence from. And that's the perspective that I want everyone to inshallah take home today. That I can also find that type of a relationship with Allah. I can find that strength within myself. But I have to go and find it in my relationship, in my connection with Allah. And if I'm able to do so, then there's nothing else that will ever make me doubt myself. Ibrahim didn't doubt himself for a second when he was falling face first into a fire, because he knew he had Allah on his side. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he's hiding in the cave of Thawr, on the night of the Hijrah, and the enemies are walking and circling around, and he can hear them and see them walking around, he never for a moment doubted himself. When his travel companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, became nervous for just a second, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to his travel companion? La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Don't fear, Allah is with us. When Musa alayhi salam is standing with Banu Israel at the shore of the ocean, one side it's the ocean, on the other side it's Fir'aun and his armies. They're sandwiched in the middle. And they said, "Ya Musa, inna lamudrakun." Musa, what did you do? We're done for. We're dead now. You got us caught in the middle. There's nowhere to run to, nowhere to go. Musa alayhi salam responded by saying, "Kalla, inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdin." No, 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 you're wrong. You're misunderstanding the situation. I have my Rabb with me. I have my Allah with me. Sayahdeen, He will make a way for me. And at each and every single one of these occasions, what ended up happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made something supernatural. Allah broke all the laws of nature and made something happen that till today captivates our minds and our hearts. The fire became cool. Ya nar kuni bardan wa salaman. The ocean split in the middle and they walked through the middle of the ocean. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was literally invisible to the eyes of these people. Today for us, Allah can make a way. It's not difficult for Allah. It's us who are lacking. We just need to start climbing that ladder, walking up those steps, and find that relationship with Allah. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ani wa yakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il al-muslimin. Fastaghfiruh, innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون صنعون أقم الصلاة. الله أكبر.